Well, first in studio, I have the great pleasure indeed of welcoming our first guest, who is our usual first guest at this stage. Sally, you're setting a very high standard actually for the show. And Sally is a psychotherapist and psychologist, and we normally speak of issues of interest. And tonight we've chosen to speak about unconscious gender bias.
Yep.
Hi.
Sally. So you're very welcome to the show.
So
unconscious gender bias is very interesting because it impacts women particularly at work. But can you define or explain what unconscious gender bias is?
I'll do my best. So for my thinking on this is that unconscious means that we're not aware of it. And gender bias refers to a bias that we would have against or towards a group of people, and in this case, gender. So unconscious gender bias normally refers to, or popularly, if that's the right word, refers to how women are not given equal treatment in many areas of the world, like employment, entertainment, every area, right?
Okay.
And that this is as a result of unconscious rather than conscious bias that we all possess, both men and women. So this isn't a thing that just men do. That's not what this is. It's a cultural thing, a societal thing, whereby women are given less agency or take less agency and aren't valued as much as their male counterparts in many, many areas of our life.
Why do you think this is?
I think that we don't have enough hours to discuss that one, but I think I could pick maybe one main thing that I have a major problem with is areas like advertising and the film industry. So, you know, as we all know that we're bombarded 24/7 almost with images and messages, and some of them are overt and we notice them and we go, God, that's very sexist, you know. But some of them are things that we don't notice, like the amount of, for example, female characters in a TV show, or their roles, or how many lines they have, or, you know, how they're listened to or not listened to. Or we might have, you know, female friends who are in a role at work and their male counterparts are paid more, and that might be seen on media as well, but we don't notice it. So there's a lot of things that we don't notice, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that influences us. So children are, if we look at, I'm going to demonise an entire section of the industry now, but if we look at Disney films, for example, and the whole notion of princesses, you know, this is how young girls are taught that women are valued on their beauty, and what women want is to have some prince come and rescue them and give them this wonderful life, and all their wishes will come true if they're pretty enough and demure enough, and they, you know, and that's the role of men and that's the role of women. And this is then, it has a real and measurable, actually, impact on how girls see themselves, and it has a measurable effect on their self-image and how they take agency in their own little lives, and how assertive they are and how confident they feel. So it's a really serious problem, actually, that, in fairness, there is a lot of work being done in the film industry, but there's a lot more needs to be done in every other industry. And it's, I was listening to an interview with Gina Davis, who is an actor that I love, but she was talking about it and saying how, yeah, things are changing, but at a glacial rate. Like, it's so slow. It's just so depressing sometimes when you think how much information we have access to, but how little we're doing about it.
Okay. And I know that they are doing a lot, well, not a lot, but they are beginning to look at, we'll say, as you mentioned earlier, Sally, women's wages vis-a-vis men's for the same job, and that men are typically paid 15 to 20 and often more, up to 30% more than their female counterparts for the same job.
That's right. And that goes all the way up into the film industry, which at that level translates into millions. So there was some figure that I heard last week that it's the average woman actor could earn up to 2.5 or 3 million less than her male counterparts, even if her role has more lines and she's actually doing more work. And that's a very telling figure, isn't it?
It is. Is this because of cultural and historical reasons, I'm wondering, as well? Yeah.
I read this amazing book. I wish I could remember the name of it. It was written by a woman called Mary Beard, which I suppose is an unfortunate name, especially given the context. But it was about women's voices. And she had a list of events going back over 2,000 years, actually, where women's voices were literally not heard and described as shrill. Like, you know, there'd be different... a woman might say something and a man might say the same thing and the words might be the same, but the woman might be described as, oh, she's, you know, a bit gobby, isn't she? She's a bit pushy. Whereas he might be described as, oh, he's confident, you know, he knows what he wants. And then just the words used to describe voices, like shrill, annoying, high-pitched, and the man's voice would be, you know, nice and smooth. And they've done several studies on that exact thing with pitches, that the lower pitch a woman's voice has, the more likely she is to be taken seriously. And she won't be taken as seriously as a man who says the same thing, but she'll be taken more seriously if she lowers the voice.
I think they had to train Margaret Thatcher in that. She got a special voice training, by all accounts.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, for that reason.
But
one of the interesting things that I was reading about, similar to that, was that... you know how it is, if Trump were a woman, or indeed Boris Johnson, it would be all politicians would be saying, oh, look what happens when you put a woman in charge. It's the behavior is sort of generalized to all women. Whereas if it's a man in that post, it's just seen,
it's framed differently.
It's framed differently. It's just him. He's the problem. It's not translated to all men. That's what happens when you put a man in power. You know, it's very interesting. Whereas when you had Thatcher in power, you know, they were saying that, you know, oh, look, that's what happens when you put a woman in power. I mean, they go mad, you know.
And yet
you have plenty of examples of bad leadership, more often than not male. But, you know, it's somehow more acceptable.
Yeah, it's fascinating. That another interesting thing about industry is that companies who have more women at a top level, so CEOs and on the board, those companies make more money. And even though we've known this now for years and there's plenty of evidence to show that, there's still a huge resistance to having women in management. So it's at all tiers of society, and even things like women do, we do a lot more unpaid work. And
well,
by
most
unpaid,
of the voluntary sector is populated by women. Most of it, not all.
Not all, but most. And then when you come home from doing your voluntary work, you do more voluntary work. Because even though things are, you know, we like to think that things are becoming more equal in the home, you know, they're not. Women are still doing more housework than men and spend more hours per week on housework than men do. So it's in every section of society we have this inequality. And that's what this is about, it's inequality.
That's called the double deal, I think. The double deal. We all know about the double deal. But going back, I suppose, how can one address it? I know we say, for instance, in the political sphere, I know in the 70s in Denmark, they brought in a ruling 50-50, I think it was 50-50 or 60-40, something pretty... for politicians, and they made it law. And within, now remember, that's the 70s, so that's over 50 years ago. And by the 90s, the late 90s, they repealed the legislation because they had reached parity, naturally had reached parity. Yep. In Ireland, we're still struggling to put together the quotas, you know, 40, I don't know what the quotas are, 30% women. And I think in the Dáil, we have 12% women. 12%, and we're in, what, 2019?
I know. It's terrible.
But it's the voters. Then you have to ask yourself, why are the voters only voting? And do women get a harder time? I think they do, looking at the media across the spectrum.
Generally speaking, again, we have a judgment issue with women where we're judged more harshly on everything, on, you know... Look, if you think of any election poster campaign, you know, when you have posters of men and you have posters of women, You know what happens. The women are judged on their appearance. There are comments made about appearances. Men don't get that, you know. And then there are so many judgments attached to that judgment as well. Like, you know, if she is good looking, then that's not good either, because she'll spend more time preening herself than looking after her council work. These are the kind of comments that I hear, you know, and I'm sure you've heard them as well.
Well, having gone for election, I'd often heard the expression, oh, he's the right man for the job, or about somebody else, whoever that other person might be. But I'm there thinking, yeah, but, you know, there are women going for election as well. And this might be in a situation where they wouldn't necessarily have known I was going for election.
Yeah.
So it was quite interesting to be kind of, in some ways, a fly on the wall and overhearing conversations. And I have to say, it was often the older age group as well who have, but not always, they have more culturally embedded that idea of men
embedded
in politics.
Yeah, it is. It's more embedded in older men and women. To take women more seriously.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, no, but that's why I said at the start, I always go to great pains to say that at the start of these conversations. This isn't a man issue. This is a societal issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember being out with friends one night and it was all women, actually. There was about eight of us sitting around and we're all, you know, we were having a genuinely interesting conversation and... Next thing, one of their partners walked into the room, a man, and he said something and everybody stopped talking and turned to face him to listen to what he was saying, even though he actually interrupted us.
Interesting.
Yep. And then one of them realised this, of course, the one who was at the time studying gender studies in UCC.
Well, just as well, she was...
she did notice. But... that, I mean, I'm talking about it now still, like a couple of years later, that was a real eye-opener for me, the way we all, and I would be very strong on these issues, like, and like to think of myself as super aware, but I was one of the women that stopped talking to listen to the man who came in and said something completely unrelated.
Yeah, well, do we rest our case there, Sally? I think we've almost out of time anyway. But yes, as you said at the beginning, this is an issue we could talk about for hours, dissecting as to all the various sectors of society as to why this is and how we're indoctrinated, maybe perhaps from a very young age.
If I could say one thing, one thing that I've started saying to female clients is this. I started saying this a few years ago and it's incredibly effective. If you're in a situation where you're not sure how you're going to deal with it, usually a situation where you have to put yourself forward, or maybe it's a confrontation, or you need to be assertive and you're not able to. What I've started doing is asking women when they get stuck and they're like, ah, I don't know what to do. Look, I'll leave it. Mm. I would say, well, if you were a man, what would you say? Then they can come up with their solution.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. To be tested.
Tested. Yeah.
Okay, good advice, Sally. And to be continued.
Grant, yes. Yeah, I'll come back to this one, no problem.
Okay. And now, as we're in the festive season and it's all about Santa.